Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon for today is based upon the account of Jesus healing the man who was deaf and could not speak. And Jesus said to him, Ephphatha. That means be opened. You know, Mark, the gospel writer, usually tells a story very quickly as compared to Matthew and Luke and John. Mark goes right to the details, gets the message out, and then he's done. In fact, oftentimes he says, immediately Jesus did that, or right away Jesus went here or there. But every once in a while, Mark slows down the story a little bit and tells us some of the good details, especially important words. For instance, when Jesus is choosing disciples and he meets James and John, Mark tells us the word that he spoke. He says they were Boanerges, which means the sons of thunder. Apparently their father was perhaps outspoken in his words, like thunder. Boanerges. In Aramaic, it is sons of thunder. Well, you say Aramaic, what's that all about? Well, it's a mix of the Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew, and the Babylonian. When they came back from exile for 70 years, those who came back, their language was changed now and influenced by the Babylonian dialect. Now, if you saw Mel Gibson's Passion a couple of years ago, you had to read the subtitles because he put it all into Aramaic, what he thought the words that we have in the New Testament in Greek would be in that language of Aramaic. Another example, when Jesus heals a little girl, he says to her, or raises her from the dead, he says, Talitha cum. In other words, little girl, get up. Also, the word Abba, more like our word for daddy. And who could forget those eerie words of Good Friday, Elohi, Elohi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Today, Mark tells us about another Aramaic word. When he meets this man who is deaf and cannot speak. Now, Jesus shows great compassion to this man. As Pastor said, he didn't just wave his hand over him and said, you're healed, but he also went to great lengths to make sure that this man understood who he was and what he was doing. He went to him, and the text says that he put his fingers in the man's ears. That says to me, it's kind of like sign language. He's saying to the man, these ears are blocked, aren't they? They don't work. How terrible. Jesus showed great understanding. He spit on the ground and he touched the man's tongue with his finger as if to say, this mouth of yours isn't able to speak, is it? People can't understand what you're saying. How sad that is. For your organs are not working like they were created to work. God didn't make us like this, unable to communicate, but he gave us, when he created us, two eyes to see and two ears to hear and two lips to be able to speak with, to communicate. And how isolated we can be when something's wrong, when we can't use all of our senses, and how cut off we are. Now, why is this? Why does this happen to people? Is God unfair, giving some the abilities that most of us have and others not? Or is God just powerless to help his creation? Why does this happen in the world? Or perhaps is God just heartless and mean, inflicting this on certain people? Well, people might think that way about our Lord, because there are so many disabilities among us. But Jesus shows us different. He shows us the heart and the mind of God. Because in his ministry, he went around to so many of these people, and he healed them. Not everyone. There were some towns where he did no miracles because the people just would not believe in him. And even today, we pray for healing. And sometimes he does give us miraculous healing or healing through a doctor or a procedure, but so many times not. But the life of Jesus shows us compassion as he treats people like this as treasures. And folks, because Jesus thought so much of them, we as Christians ought to also to see them as the treasures of the church, people who need our help and assistance. What this does is shows how tragically the world is so broken, and our Lord comes to restore it as Jesus healed so many. Well, with this man who was deaf, after he touched him in that way, he looked up to heaven as if to say, there's only one person who can help you, your Father up there. And then he finally said something. And I imagine as we do this, his shoulders went back and his head hung low, but he sighed. Ah, what a terrible thing you have, not to be able to speak and not be able to hear and be so closed off from the rest of the world. And then, and only then, did he say the word. Ephphatha. Ephphatha, just one word, that's all, which, as you know, means be opened. In fact, as we look at this word and the way it's used, it means be open, but be opened up all the way, completely open. One word, no magic, no medicine, no hocus pocus, and he's good as new. And the text says he went around speaking right away, just like everybody else. How wonderful. No speech therapy. He could speak again. Yes, it's a miracle. Jesus healed him. Ephphatha, one little word. Reminds us of how God created all things, doesn't it? Just with words. He said, let there be a world, and there was. Let there be light separated from the darkness, and there was. Let there be oceans and land, and there was. There were. Let us have fish in the sea and animals in the land and birds in the air, and let us make man in our image, said the Lord, and male and female, he created them. Just with words. But God's word has such power, such creative power, and such restorative power, as we see here in this story of Jesus. You know, this is really a picture of what Jesus wants to do for you. Oh, not that you can't hear or can't see. Most of us here can, or if we can't, we find a way to communicate with people. But God wants to open you up as well. Why do you need to be opened up? Well, we hear and speak, but tragically, we have a serious disability, much worse than this man had, and it's not just a few of us, but every one of us comes into the world this way. We are deaf to God's voice. We are blind to see him in the world, and because of that, we cannot speak to him in the right way and use his language. How sad it is that somebody can be born into this world, can live their whole life, and then die, and not be able to know intimately their creator and to know or have the slightest idea of their purpose for which God made them to live in this world. How tragic that is. And yet that's how every one of us comes into this world, blind and deaf to God and unable to speak to him. In fact, what's worse is the false gods can come and we can be enraptured by them and devote ourselves to them and worship a false god who doesn't exist and can't help us at all. Into this tragic situation, this darkness that veils the whole world and blinds all of us to God, Jesus came to seek us out and to bring healing to those who would receive it. Have you considered the magnitude of your forgiveness from God? Think of it. This man who was deaf went through his life that way. One minute he's deaf and can't hear and can't speak. The next minute he can hear everything. And he knows what people are saying. And he can communicate like he always wanted to. Think of that. How wonderful, how amazing that must have been for him. It's a total transformation. He's now fully open through what Jesus has given him. Well, it is much the same for us. No, I shouldn't say that. It's much greater for us in a spiritual way. For when Jesus takes our sins upon himself, we are open again. Open again to God our Father. We see him and know him, and we know what he has done for us and how he loves us. And we also know what we are here for, to serve him in this life. He does this healing upon us, through his word that he speaks to us. And he comes and he makes us able to hear and to understand what he is saying. That word which is preached, which is taught to us, which we read in the Holy Scriptures, which he has given to us. And he also heals us through those things that his word gives power to, which he puts his promises on. What are they? But our baptism into Christ, and when we come to his Holy Supper in the bread and the wine. It's as if God is this invisible physician who's going around among the world, and he's healing people. And yet you can't see him, but you know he's been there, because this couldn't happen by itself, as he makes people alive again. Friends, God is healing here once again today, and it is so good that you are here. Especially if you're a guest with us today, we welcome you to our church, because God is working here. But the question remains, God's doing the healing, but do we really want to be healed? I see people that are walking around, you know, in their older years, and it's really hurting. I was working with a guy yesterday, and he has a really bad knee, and I said, when are you going to get that knee fixed? And he said, oh, I had the last one done. I'm not ready yet. You know, the healing's there, but getting through it and having a knee replacement or a hip replacement or whatever else you have to have, it takes so much out of you that you don't do it unless you just can't stand the pain anymore. Do we want to be healed spiritually? Do we want to be open to God? Or do we want to remain close to him and close so that we can stay down in darkness and we can stay ignorant of his plan and we can just do what feels good and what we think is right? Or do we want to know the truth so that the truth can set us free from the bondage we're in? Are we able to hear and follow, to rejoice and have that peace that comes from knowing why we are here in this world and what God would have us do? And to know that we are forgiven from all of our sins and the door to heaven has been opened, Ephatha, opened not just a crack, not just enough we can slip through unnoticed, but Jesus has done everything necessary in forgiving our sins to throw that door open wide to us so he can say, come on in, I have cleansed you, you are free. You know what's wonderful is that when we are opened, as he does to us, through proclaiming us free from our sins and forgiven, he really does an amazing thing. He's going to do the healing in the world, but now he makes us the doctors. Imagine that. God makes us the doctors. I say that because he makes us his ambassadors, and we go forth. We now are his voice in the world as we tell others about this good news that Jesus has done for us, telling that good news, opening the door for others, opening others up, being that instrument of God's mercy. As Jesus said when he did miracles, he said, you think this is great? You will see greater things than this. I think he's talking about what God is doing through you as his people when you share the good news about Christ that you believe. And finally, at the end of the little story there, the account, you ever notice so many of his miracles, and here again today in this one, Jesus tells people, now, don't go and tell anybody else about this. Keep it a secret. And then what do? Well, they go out and they tell everybody. I don't think it's reverse psychology. I think that's just the natural reaction to such great news and such great freedom and to having something opened up to you like this man has. But it's different today, because now our Lord tells us, come and see what I've done for you, and now go and tell, how much he has done. So if he told them to keep it a secret back then, and they told anyway, everybody they could, how much more Should we want to go and spread the good news now that he's given us this command in this direction? So this morning, as you enjoy the sounds here, the words of God, the hymns of God, the prayers of God, and you participate in it with your lips, singing and speaking and praising, remember this miracle. And remember the miracle that God has worked in your heart in opening you to all that the Father would say to you and give to you. And remember to be that voice to others that they may be opened just as you have been. In the name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts to life everlasting. Amen.